The next kina is kina chaf gimel. This is a beautiful but poignant and painful kina, based on the medrash of the Gemara in Masechta Gittin that describes the children of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, the two children who were sold into slavery. Apparently, they were both very, very good looking. The boy was handsome, the girl was very beautiful, and their wicked Roman masters, upon seeing how beautiful they were, decided that instead of just having separate, individual, beautiful slaves, instead would try to mate them, put them in a room together overnight, assuming that these slaves would be as immoral as they would be. Of course, the slaves would be together if they left them in the room overnight. And then together they would share the children of this union, who presumably would be so beautiful and so handsome that they'd be able to fetch such a high price for such slaves. And the young boy and young girl put in the dark room. And of course, as the kina itself describes so poignantly, they're horrified at the prospect that they, not just as Jewish children, but as Meyuchas children, children of the Kohen Gadol, descendants of Aaron, a Kohen, of Yocheved, how would they have to be degraded to such an extent? And therefore they stay each on their side of the room in their corner throughout the night. And only when the dawn breaks and the sun comes up, only then do they realize that the person who's across the room from them is none other than their sibling. The whole night they were in darkness thinking that they were with another slave. But now that the sun comes up, they realize that it's in fact their sibling. They rush together, they hug, they're overcome with emotion. And as the kina describes, they die as they are crying together, holding each other. It's a beautiful and it's a poignant kina on its face. But we've mentioned in the past, and I'd like to mention again, a beautiful metaphoric understanding that I've never seen inside, but I heard many years ago in the name of Rav Elyashiv. As I'm sure you know, this past year, very recently actually, is the 10th Yortzeit of Rav Elyashiv, and therefore in his chus, I want to take this opportunity once again to mention his interpretation. He explained that this kina is actually, in this story, is a metaphor for sinas chinam, because we spend our nights, as it were, in the darkness. We can't really see the truth. Therefore, we see our fellow Jews as the other. We stay in our corner, and they're the other. We want to stay away from them. And they stay in their corner, and they think that we're the other. They want to stay away from us. And we're really just confused. We're blinded by the darkness. And it's only if and when the sun will come out, only if and when we'll be enlightened, and in the light of day, we'll be able to see that the person on the other side of the room is not the other, but in fact, none other than my brother, none other than my sister. In other words, says Rav Elyashiv, this kina is a metaphor for what is still so wrong and haunting us since the time of the second Churban, that is sinas chinam. Instead of realizing that it's our brother and our sister, it's a feeling of the other, someone who we need to stay far away from. And in light of this beautiful interpretation, I'd like to take the opportunity and share with you two incredible sources, each in their own way, that very much speak to this issue of sinas chinam, or in the positive sense, the need for us to come together and be closer with our fellow Jews. First is in source number 16, and it comes from a source, a sefer called Rachmei Harav. I don't think it's such a well-known sefer, but it's actually the collection written up, by students of the Musar ideas, the personal hanhagos, the hashkafos of the Baal Shevet Alevi, Rav Wozner Zatzal. For those who are not familiar, Rav Wozner was one of the great and premier poskim the second half of the 20th century in the world. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, he lived in Bnei Brak. He was a chassidisher, he was the Talmud of Rav Meir Shapiro, one of the last living ones at the time he had died. He was the Talmud of Chachmei Lublin. In fact, when he started his neighborhood in Bnei Brak, he called it Zichron Meir. His yeshiva, chassidish yeshiva, is Chachmei Lublin. And he is, of course, known, as you would expect, of a great Hasidic posek from Bnei Brak, to be very firm, very uncompromising with his brilliant psakim. And yet, Dafka, when you know and appreciate who's the one saying this, look what he says in this sefer. Look at this beautiful idea. Uba'avonoseinu harabim anu edim kayom. He says, we can testify that in our great sins, even to this very day, what is our practice? L'shloach medanim bein achim. We throw insults at each other, at our fellow brothers. Nasa minhug, again, as we said earlier in the day, it's systemic, it's structural, it's not pam bi, we don't happen to do it, It's built in. It's become a minhag Yisrael to insult our fellow Jew. Nasag minhag ra bekama ktsavot mi amanatenu hakadosha. Various places in our community. Shekomi she'enu mekabel hashkafas yachid or chug. Someone who doesn't follow my hashkafa, who's not part of the community hashkafa that I subscribe to. What do? Nerdef al tzavaro shovchim damo bekama minei madanim v'loshan hara. We assault him. We persecute him. We insult him. We say loshan hara about him. And we forget, he says, v'shochachim, she said, ratzon Hashem shiyudeo shonos v'ashkafos shonos v'olam. We forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be difference, wants there to be unique and different hashkafos. What would we call that in today's day and age? We'd call that diversity or pluralism. This is not me talking. This is the Baal Shevet Alevi. We have to have a respect. Of course, there's limits, and he certainly would have his limits. But within the Orthodox, the Torah community, 12 shvatim, different approaches, different hashkafos, it's more than just B'dyevet or legitimate, it's Ratzon Hashem, says the Shevet Halevi. Kol Echad Yavod Hashem Yisbarach B'mchinasohu. Everyone does their own thing, takes their own approach to Avodas Hashem. V'ainli Shum Safek, he says, she's Echad Mi Ma'akovei Gulasenu U'Pedus Nafsheinu. He says, I have no doubt that this is one of the things that's holding back the Geula. Everyone thinks that they know what can bring the Geula. And here I'm going to be, I guess, politically correct, because I'll insult, if you will, or criticize all the different communities. The Geula is not going to be built because there's going to be one more Kolel. The Geula is not going to be built because there was one more Yishuv. Everyone runs around trying to do these things, and they mean well, and they're not, I'm not saying they're bad, Chas v'Shalom. But people have decided that those are the things that are going to bring the Geula. And we forget what Chazal says will bring the Geula. Says Rav Ozer, you have to remember, you know what's holding us back? Sinas Chinam, intolerance. Religious intolerance for our fellow Orthodox, religious Jews. If we want to really bring the Geula, we don't necessarily need another Kol or another Yeshuv. What we need is more tolerance, more Avas Yisrael. And of course he ends on a very, very, very powerful note, that it's not just that the Sinas Chinam is what's caused the Choruban, what's preventing the Geula. It's still an Avon that is Merakeid Beinenu, as he says. It's still dancing among us, the sin. But even worse, Umalbishim hakol b'ma'atek ilu shel shem shamayim. The worst part is we pretend it's because of l'shem shamayim. The reason I hate you, the reason I hate them, it's not because I'm a bad guy. It's not because I'm a jerk. It's not because of my own insecurities I need to overcompensate. It's not because it's any of those things. No, of course not. If it would be up to me, nah, I'm a pussycat. I love everybody. It's just that l'shem shamayim. For Hashem's sake, I'm doing it for His sake. L'shem Shemayim, I'm rodef achar you. L'shem Shemayim, I have to say Lashon Hara. L'shem Shemayim, I have to be a kanai. Says Rav Ozner, of all people, this is Rav Ozner. We pretend, we add insult to injury. It's not bad enough that we're intolerant or have sinas chinam. We pretend we're doing it for Hashem's sake. We wrap ourselves in the mantle, in the cloak of L'shem Shemayim, when really it's our own terrible midos and our insecurities. This is a beautiful and powerful idea on the level of the philosophical, if you will, or the conceptual. What's the idea? How bad is Sinas Chinam? How important is Avas Yisrael? But on a practical level, how do we do that? How can we get there? There's a beautiful idea in the next source, a very practical source, but very insightful, from the Sefer Menachem Tzion on Perkei Avos. This is Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, and if I understand correctly from my research, he is the son-in-law of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, which, for those listening and in the room, I think that makes him, perhaps, most likely, the grandfather of Rabbi Yonason Sachs, the former Rosh Hashiva at OYU, and now the Rosh Hashiva at Landers, a great, brilliant Talmud Chacham, who I know is a descendant somehow of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and if this Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Sachs is the son-in-law, so I'm guessing that must have been Rabbi Sachs' grandfather. Anyway, he has some beautiful svarim of Drush as Menachem Tzion, and here he's commenting on the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, which says, Oev Shalom, Verodev Shalom. And he explains that, in fact, metaphorically, we can understand this idea as a practical way of achieving better relationship with other people. How so? Well, what is it? What's the bracha that's part of our Shmoneh Esrei where we talk about Shalom? Of course, that's a bracha of Sim Shalom. And at the end of that bracha, what do? So he quotes from the Gemara in Yuma, Mespal Tzarech Shiafsia, Gimel Psios Lachor. If we take three steps back, and afterwards, Acher Kach Yitain Shalom. Only then do we make the bracha of Shalom after we take the three steps back. Says Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, beautiful interpretation. Kalamar, this should be understood al derech moshel, metaphorically. Yefshar lase shalom im ein anu muchanim lifsoa l'ma'ano l'acharenu kama psiot, hainu l'hitpasher, etc. That is to say, the three steps back are a metaphor for the idea that if we want to really get along with people, we want to have shalom, we can't be makbid to stand in our place. We have to take a step back, sometimes two and sometimes even three. If we need to fill our space, if we need to stand our ground, maybe we're right. Maybe that's the principled approach. But it will not yield shalom. A person can only achieve the bracha of shalom if they learn how to take three steps back, if they learn how to give other people space. Now, I'll add, by the way, P.S., free of charge, this is also good marriage advice. Right? You can't always be right. You can be right or be happy, but they don't always go together. And if you want to really be happy and you want to have a great marriage and you want to get along with other people, bichlal, you can't always be makbud on your own emda, your own position. You have to somehow, sometimes move. Sometimes you have to move back. Sometimes one, sometimes two, and sometimes even three steps. He adds, just to add a beautiful extra twist to this, he puts out, of course, what do we do after we take the three steps back? We lean to the right, and we lean to the left. Says the Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, the Sefer Menachem Tzion, beautifully, why do we do that? Rameish anu nuchanim l'man ha-shalom l'natot yeminu v'smola v'lo l'amod etanim v'zkufim mibli lazuz m'uma m'emdatenu ha-akshanit. Sometimes we have to bend to the left to achieve shalom. Sometimes we have to bend to the right. If we have to feel the need to be ramrod straight, to stand in our place, to never bend, then we can stand on principle, we can stand up straight, but we're not going to have shalom. Shalom requires compromise. Sometimes it's compromise to the left, sometimes it's compromise to the right. But we have to learn that we can't always stand our ground and we can't always be exactly straight that we want to be. We sometimes have to give a little an inch here and an inch there in order to achieve harmony, in order to achieve shalom with our closest relatives and certainly even with our fellow Jews. Here we have two beautiful ideas, I think, that come together that really enhance our understanding of what this kina is trying to achieve. And that is, if we understood it as Rav Yashiv did metaphorically, is referring to the terrible plague of Sinas Chinam. So Rav Vosder, in his piece, speaking more abstractly, conceptually, about the concept, the value of pluralism in a certain sense within the Torah community, of achdus, of understanding and respecting each other, and understanding that it's a l'chachila, it's Ratzon Hashem, that there are different Jews with different hashkafos, and the Menachem Tzion giving us practical advice for how to accomplish that. We can do that by what? By taking some steps back, by leaning to the left, by leaning to the right, not holding our ground, giving other people space, giving them room to be quote-unquote right, giving them room to flourish, as it were, not always standing our ground, even if we think we're right, maybe we are right. We have to learn how to compromise, and that sometimes means taking a step back, sometimes it means taking a tilt to the left or to the right. But this is something that is, I think, very, very important. As he said, as we saw and we know, we're reading, that this is a sin that brought down the second base of Mikdash, and it is still, as Rav Vosner said, rokeid bekirbeinu. It is still dancing among us. And therefore, hopefully this is something we can really think about as we read this meaningful kina, and hopefully this is part of our day today, to take a greater thought, greater commitment into the severity of Sinas Chinam, and to the importance of Avas Yisrael, respecting our fellow Jews, even those, or dafka those, who are different than us.